Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Frontier Beyond Fear radio program. This is Susan Laris and Dance, and tonight begins a new experiment, so to speak, in the sense of having a very open, spontaneous show and just seeing who happens to wander into the chat room or calls in to discuss the shift that many of us feel is awaiting mankind and is indeed in progress as we speak. If you would like to join our chat room today, you will need to log in if you'd like to participate in the chat, but guests are also welcome. And we do have a call-in number tonight. That number is 310-807-5104. And the show tonight will continue as long as it makes sense, as long as there is some energy to the discussion. And if it turns out that I'm just going to be talking for a little bit about how I perceive the shift, that's fine too. We'll just see where it goes. Tonight I'm also testing out the new studio on Blog Talk Radio, which appears to be much improved. And so this is a good opportunity to do that when we don't really have a guest. And I feel that we need to have more opportunities where we can just spontaneously talk about our thoughts. Things don't need to be polished or written up. I think that it's worthwhile to express how we are feeling in the moment. Now, I will say that the world right now is entering a time, and indeed has been in a time, where there are a lot of challenges on the planet. And it's very easy to fall into fear at this time. And one of our challenges as awakening souls on this planet in this moment in time is to keep our fear at bay and to focus on the dawn instead of the darkness. And one of the reasons I chose to have this show tonight is so that we have opportunities to share with one another as we anticipate the dawn, even as we see what really is a clearing of the darkness. And to clear it, often it needs to be surface. And it's all part of the shift. So I welcome people in the chat. I will be responding to comments in the chat, and I very much welcome you to join in the conversation. Or even if you feel comfortable calling in, feel free, because we're just going to have a very casual, relaxed talk. I'm just sitting here in my rocking chair at home, and that is the intent of the show tonight. Many people in many different spiritual paths have written about this time on the planet. Many of the major religions are anticipating what is essentially a time of peace on earth, and yet often before that time, there is described a more turbulent period ushering it in. And my own background included evangelical Christianity, where I learned a great deal about the end times, And then over time, I was able to incorporate that with some more New Age ideas and also see the commonalities between those belief systems. And there are many different paths right now, whether you're studying the Mayan prophecies, or you're focused on, you may be a Mormon, you may be a Muslim, even in Judaism, many different paths anticipate a new age on this planet, even if they use different language to discuss it. And so our challenge at this time, no matter what our path, is to keep our eyes on the dawn that many of us know is near. Now, as this is, again, a show that I'm just spontaneously doing here, we just have a little bit of participation in the chat right now, and I'm not going to go on and on if it's just me talking tonight, but I will leave the door open for a little while just to see what happens. I'm not afraid to try something new like this, just to see what happens. This show wasn't really advertised way in advance. It was just a spontaneous thing. Now, one of the things that I feel that many of us are taught through some of the more traditional paths is a sense of unworthiness, a sense that perhaps we aren't worthy of claiming the oneness with the omnipresence of the divine. And something that I found reassuring and even surprising when I looked back at the path from which I came were verses in the Bible that not only described a promise to come, but also described just who we are in a way that often isn't discussed within the context of that religion. And so I'm just going to tonight, as long as it's just me talking about these topics, I'm going to refer to just a few different verses and readings from different sources that may be of interest to people, even if you're listening in the archive later. One such verse shows up in John 10:34. And this is a really interesting passage because it's in a passage of the Bible where Jesus is asked if he's the Son of God. And yet his response is very fascinating. And here's the lead into this verse. "We are not stoning you for any of these," replied the Jews, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'?" Now that's a really interesting verse that, quite honestly, I wasn't taught in my early years and even later years of studying the Bible, because what it implies and what it refers to is another verse in Isaiah, which discusses our participation in the omnipresence of God, And so I feel that we can't approach the shift without having a real understanding of our participation in the omnipresence of God. And this is a really difficult thing for some people to approach because they feel that they are somehow challenging the sovereignty of God, when in fact they are simply acknowledging and embracing what they were always intended to be, what we were created to be, which is aspects. We are aspects of the divine having a human experience. That is what I believe. And if one believes that God is everywhere, then a natural extension, in fact, a very logical conclusion, is that God is within you too. And if God is within us, if we are inseparable from God, keeping in mind that it's not always easy to define God, and so using that term, the creator of the universe or the multiverse, is probably the easiest way to express that. If we are inseparable from our creator, then there are things available to us that are beyond our imaginings. And those things were always intended for us. This is not a challenge. This is not blasphemy, as Jesus was accused of. This is simply an extension of who God is and who we are. And so I have to say that one of the most profound aspects of my own awakening has been coming to terms with this realization and understanding it in a way that is not prideful, as is often claimed by people who criticize such views, but is actually even consistent with many of the writings that those same people embrace. And certainly consistent with any number of writings from the Eastern world, where there has always been an acknowledgement that God is everywhere and a real understanding and an exploration of what that means. In the Western world, we've lost touch with the very things that we are actually taught, because there have been those who have manipulated the message, not wanting the masses to believe that they could be empowered in such a way, not in a way that is a challenge to God, but a way that might be a challenge to the authority of leaders in a church who may choose to disempower the people. And so I believe that as we look at this time on the planet, it's very important to, at the very beginning, begin to at least try to embrace the idea that God has to be in you. If you believe that God is everywhere, then you cannot be separate from God. That doesn't mean that you are a sovereign God in the sense of being over anyone else or challenging God. It's different. It means that you are a part of something much bigger than just this aspect that you see right now. And it means that that aspect that you are here on this planet, the human being incarnated that you are right now, that aspect has so much potential, so much co-creative potential, which is often the term that is used, that you have the ability to learn how to become a true child of God. And in fact, I'm just looking for this verse in Isaiah, which talks about us being children of God. I think I wrote it down wrong, so I'm trying to find it quickly. I may just have to paraphrase it. essentially, it was the verse that Jesus was referring to in the verse in John. And what it says is that we are all children of the Most High. It says, ye are gods, ye are all children of the Most High. And I am paraphrasing there because I don't have it right in front of me here. But it's very important. If this particular source is important to you, it's important to acknowledge that it does contain some things that are supportive of what would often be characterized as either Eastern or New Age beliefs. Now, I will say that some of these verses appear to be in contradiction with other verses, and I do personally see contradictions in this particular source. And in that case, if you have a source with contradictions, you need to figure out what you choose to embrace. And although it's hard often for people to accept that this is happening, I have continually observed that it's essentially impossible to embrace the entire book and find a consistent way of expressing it. And that's just, to me, something that we have to come to terms with. But anyway, speaking of my own belief, I will say that it's encouraging to me to know that these teachings that were always with me actually are consistent with any number of things that have been expressed on what some would call the New Age path. Now, I wanted to talk just a little bit more about God's omnipresence. And there's actually yet another verse, keeping the focus on the Bible for now, but we'll branch into other things. This is Psalm 139, 7 through 12. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. This is a really important passage because it talks about how the omnipresence of God essentially transforms the darkness. And it also makes it very clear that there is no place that you can be separate from God. We're often told that hell is a place, which I personally do not believe in, is a place where we would be separate from God. But that's not possible. If we think that we are in hell, within the current state of our lives, there are times when people feel that they're going through a kind of hell. That's as bad as it gets. And even then, you can never be apart from our Creator. Our Creator would never abandon you, no matter what. And as we look at the state of the planet right now, where, you know, we have any number of wars, the cycle of war continues and in many ways escalates. It's very important to embrace the faith of knowing that even the darkness has a purpose. If it didn't have a purpose, it wouldn't exist. And it is my belief, and I believe these verses hold this up, it is my belief that the omnipresence of God must be everywhere. And that can only mean that the darkness has a purpose for our own growth, has a purpose, no matter how challenging it may be. Many of us feel that that purpose has to do with free choice, that Earth is a place where we have free choice. We are not robots here. There are many people who interpret that choice to mean whether you're choosing heaven or hell, or choosing to be saved or not saved. But that's not the kind of choice that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a place where you have complete choice to do what you will and learn from those experiences. That can also make this earth a very dark place. And I think probably the most difficult things to come to terms with on this planet is simply the why. Why is it so dark? And why did we allow it to be so dark? And I say we because we have a part in coming to this place. I believe that we had a part in the co-creative power of God when this place called Earth came to be, as well as creating our human experiences here. And so that's all part of the free choice that I believe in. And a lot of this show, one of its purposes is to express a belief system which I personally believe everyone has their own interpretation on their own spiritual path. And we're not getting a lot of discussion here tonight, so I suppose that experiment is not really holding up. But to be fair, I did not publicize this show. It's just a very spontaneous experience. I appreciate that I have a little participation in the chat room, but I'll just go on as long as it makes sense, because I know that we have listeners in the archive. And I do welcome, if you are listening to this in the archive, please feel free to enter a comment or feel free to email me at info@frontierbeyondfear.com, because I welcome comments and questions. And I fully believe that it is so important that each of us authentically expresses what we believe. So often, we bury that. We're afraid to authentically discuss our beliefs and even our questions, and most especially our doubts. I don't claim to have all the answers. I'm still coming to terms with some things myself. However, I also feel that there are a lot of beliefs that have been suppressed, and that often people are hesitant to talk about some of these things because they're so readily misinterpreted. And probably the top misinterpretation of New Age belief, how you would characterize what I believe, is that it is somehow prideful, when actually it is a very profoundly humbling thing to see the vastness of which you are a part. It is both uplifting and humbling at the same time, and there is a big difference between being uplifted by God, which is what this is, uplifted as a child would be taught by a parent what it's like to become an adult. There is a big difference between that and open rebellion or open rejection of sovereignty. Big difference. And I really do feel that it's important that we begin to express our authentic beliefs so that can be understood. And again, if you would like to comment on this or write to me, I really invite that, given that there isn't a lot of discussion going on right now. And if there was, I certainly would involve anyone in the chat or who chooses to call. There was a quote that I was alerted to at one point, and this has to do with questioning. I certainly went through many years of questioning, and I still ask questions. I ask questions about many ideas. I ask questions about some things that are very sacred even to a lot of New Agers. For example, the law of attraction. I've asked some very challenging questions about that. And of course, I've also asked questions about the Bible, because I feel that there are inconsistencies there that have troubled me for many, many years, particularly how we could anticipate this loving time of peace on earth, this loving presence of God, and yet also view God as a violent being, as a wrathful being, as a punitive being. Because the God that I know is a healer. The God that I know is a rehabilitator. The God that I know takes you and embraces you and uplifts you and never, ever could reject you. Not even at the end of the age. And to be really honest, I have come to the conclusion that any such being could not possibly be God. Because that would not be loving, nor would it be any kind of wise, fulfilling solution to what is viewed as a problem of darkness on the planet. Even though, as that passage I read a little while ago said, darkness and light are essentially alike to thee. That is really interesting. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. And the way I interpret that is that darkness is essentially embraced by the light. And so that's the way I would look at that. But the quote that I was going to mention with regards to doubt is one by Thomas Jefferson. And it says, "Question with boldness even the existence of a God, because if there be one, he must more approve the homage of reason than that of blindfolded fear." And so here's a question to anyone who may be listening to this in the future. Are you believing something simply because you are afraid? Are you believing something simply because you have been told of the consequences if you don't? Do you truly believe what you claim to believe, if that's the case? Or are you just convincing yourself that you have to embrace this because you've been told that you must? Because I can tell you that that was my state of mind for many years, and I could never fully believe in a God who could possibly be wrathful or warlike, or who would punish us after only one short life on this planet. In fact, for me, if that scenario was valid, even this being called Satan, who I also happen to not believe in, and again, I'm authentically expressing my beliefs here without being afraid, Because if we don't start talking honestly about our beliefs, we're never going to have a conversation on this planet. And it's time for many of us to take a stand in our truth, at least express our truth. It doesn't mean that we don't change, be open to change over time. I think beliefs often shift over time. As much as we like to claim that we're never going to shift, we often do. But anyway, it's my belief that if even one soul was lost in a violent end of age, if one soul could be eternally lost because of being deceived by darkness, then that would be defeat for the light. That would not be a victory. In fact, many people would mourn such a fate because it would show that there is no sovereignty of love or light, and that darkness would actually be more powerful than the light. And that's simply not something that many of us are willing to accept. And with very good reasons, as a matter of pure conscience. There have been those who have written boldly about such things. Rob Bell, for example, an evangelical minister who realized that hell, as he had been taught, cannot possibly exist in that way. And so he wrote a book called Love Wins. And in fact, there was a show that we did on that a while back that I encourage you to listen to if you're curious. Evangelical minister Carlton Pearson also had a revelation in which he realized hell could not possibly exist. He came to this conclusion through compassion. He realized he was watching television one day, watching refugees in Africa who were suffering greatly. And it suddenly dawned on him that all of these people would be going to hell, based on what he believed at the time. And he actually had a conversation then with God. Basically, is this really the way you think it is? Do you really think we would do such a thing? And suddenly he realized, of course not. The most amazing thing about waking up to the reality of the acceptance which is available to everyone is that how obvious it really was all along. To me, that's the most shocking thing. When you've entertained the notion that there could be eternal rejection by a loving God, even eternal, very harsh punishment, once you realize the lack of justice in that, the lack of love in that, and just how incredibly brutal it can often be described as, once you realize that, it is liberating beyond words, because then you discover just how loving our Creator actually is. That's when you discover that love wins, just as Rob Bell chose to describe it. And as much as such beliefs and the expression of such beliefs, as I'm doing now, can be viewed as controversial, I feel it is very important for alternative beliefs to be discussed. Because the problem is, it's not challenging or allowing others not to be in their truth. I fully honor that other people, whatever you believe, that's your choice. We have free choice. But I do think that when you see that fear is playing a huge role because of being reinforced for so many centuries, when you come to that awakening, there is a responsibility of conscience that comes upon you. That same responsibility of conscience that came upon Rob Bell and Carlton Pearson, who had the courage to preach these things, one of whom, Carlton Pearson, lost his entire megachurch because he had the courage to preach from conscience instead of blindfolded fear, as Thomas Jefferson had put it. We are told so many times you cannot trust your own reasoning. In fact, the verse is right in front of me, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And so when you're told that, that's often interpreted as you just have to accept it. You may not like it, but that's just tough. Someone once expressed this to me in a Christian chat room. We were having a discussion about hell. And in the past, I've written extensively online on this topic. And this person, the way they expressed it was, the God of wrath and justice and punishment is like a southern sheriff, as he put it, and he's got the gun. So you better listen, was essentially the message. My personal experience with that kind of approach, for many years I tried to believe in such a God. I was terrified because I was brought up with the fear of hell, even though I was brought up by very loving people within the context of the evangelical church. I learned all about the end times and hell. And so when I had trouble embracing a belief in a God that would reject or even torture poor, deceived human beings, when I had trouble with that, I personally feared I was going to be right along with them. And I'm sure there are people listening. If I've got listeners in the archive, actually, I got a listener in the chat room. Welcome. This is a spontaneous discussion tonight, so I'm talking to people listening in the future, but I really welcome anyone who comes in. Anyway, I was never able to believe something out of fear. And eventually, it dawned on me that if you are being told you must believe something, but you simply don't believe it, there is absolutely nothing you can do to make yourself believe. You can claim that you believe it. You can try to convince yourself that you believe it. But if you don't actually believe it, you don't believe it. And so then you're in trouble anyway. If you believe there are these horrible consequences because you don't believe a certain way, then there's really not a whole lot you can do. I mean, you can try to educate yourself, which is what I did. And when I asked for guidance, all I found was love. I didn't find the fear anymore. That's when I learned about the shift. That's when I learned about what's really going on this planet, at least certainly from my understanding through my own beliefs. And then over time, I realized that many of us are all talking about the same thing. That when the most conservative of Christians talk about heaven on earth, they're talking about the very same New Age that so-called New Agers are talking about. Even within Islam right now, there is talk of this Mahdi who will deliver us, this golden age that will come up. And they talk about a time of turbulence leading up to that. Within Christianity, there has always been talk of turbulence leading up to that age. Same with other belief systems, the Mayan belief system, many of the Toltec beliefs, many of the indigenous cultures, the Hopi prophecies. They talk about a time of turbulence, a time of challenge, a time of purification, a time of clearing leading up to a new age. You can call it by whatever term you want. Call it heaven on earth. Call it God being with us on earth. Call it being fully conscious of your oneness of God. It's all the same thing. Once you realize that, it is incredibly freeing. And what a thing of beauty that is, that we are all approaching the same moment on this planet in our different ways. And we're all experiencing a time of challenge, which may grow more challenging, at least in a global way. I do believe, because of my own belief system, which is, and I put in quotes, New Age, how people would characterize it, I do believe, and actually this can be shared in other ways, through the power of prayer, if you're a very sincere Christian or of another faith, or through the power of belief. Through the power of faith, I believe that we can ease our path through this time. And I also believe that when there are challenges, you know, right now, it's very possible our financial system is crashing worldwide. It could be occurring, and there's a lot of evidence that it's occurring. Do we view that as a bad thing or as a part of the shift? And see, that's the key, is that when you see a challenge occurring in the world right now, do you choose to view that as a dark obstacle that has nothing to do with your own growth or the growth of the planet? Or do you choose to embrace it and acknowledge it as, oh, okay, this obstacle, whether big or small within my life, is ultimately here because I am going to be brought even higher because of it? You know, as I read in that really interesting passage in the Bible, it's amazing how some of these passages just aren't discussed. I mean, I've been in my share of Bible studies over the years, and we just didn't talk about some of these verses. But I find this, I'm going to repeat this again. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Where the thee we're talking about here is our Creator. Now, when I read these passages, keep in mind that I feel that there is inspiration of the divine in many sources. I also do not feel the need to attribute 100% truth to any one written source. And so when I read any source, whether it's the Bible or whether it's A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle, whether it's one of Greg Braden's books, whether it's the Celestine Prophecy, all of these books are sitting next to me right now. Whatever I'm reading, I read with discernment. I feel that we need to always be on the lookout for the influence of fear, which can infiltrate just about any source. Because, face it, the planet Earth experience has involved a lot of fear. It's also involved a great deal of love. That's what free choice does for us. We are not robots, and we have created the experiences that we have on this world, even the darkest from the light. There have been some many, many wonderful things that have happened on this planet. There have been many dark things. But as a person of faith, I trust that every bit of darkness has a purpose and ultimately must serve the purposes of the light. in the sense that there is nothing that can happen that is not a part of our growth, either personally or as a human race. And when I talk about the shift, what is that? It's evolution. It's what I would call guided evolution. I'm not the only one to call it that. It is a quantum leap in evolution. It means that we are rising to a higher level of consciousness such that the rule of fear won't have such a hold on us anymore. It's not about losing our free choice. It has more to do with simply growing up. Any of us who has been a parent, and I'm a mom, we've watched our children grow, and at each stage there are different choices that they make based on their reality. Those choices get more complex. They become more mature. Now, when you're growing up as a conscious aspect of the Creator, there's only one direction you can grow, and that's towards a greater understanding of love. And so, as we grow towards this greater understanding of love and compassion, we will naturally make choices consistent with that. That doesn't take away our free choice. We're just becoming wiser in the choices we choose to make. We also have available to us things that were not available when we were younger. And that's when the miracles come into play. That's when the truly magical aspect of the shift takes hold. Many of us are seeing it already. We see it in synchronicities. We see it in amazing coincidences when just the circumstances set up in just the right way. We see it when we think of a friend and they call us in the next 5 minutes. If you look around you, there are miracles surrounding you all the time. And the more you look for them, the more you realize they're out there, the more you see them, the more you trust that your life can be a miracle, the more you grow towards that co-creative potential that's within you. And that's what the shift is truly all about. This shift that we talk about is not really about challenging any particular type of religious belief. There are different ways that we approach it, and there's no doubt some forms of belief have more fear involved in them than others. But ultimately, we are talking about understanding and living in a space of full consciousness of our oneness with our Creator. It is truly God with us. That's what the New Earth is all about. Whether you're reading about it from Eckhart Tolle or you're reading about it in Revelation. In fact, let's see. This is turning into a bit of a monologue, but that's okay. I do appreciate those of you who are listening because I know you're out there. One of my realizations, and this is something that's being backed up now by our scientists. You see shows on this all the time. In fact, there was just one the other day, I think it was on the Science Channel, about how time isn't what we think it is. Time is not linear. So if it seems like I'm talking to people, I don't have a lot of people listening right now. I scheduled this show, 20 minutes before I decided to get on here and start talking. And so there aren't a lot of people here, but that's okay because there are people here with me, and these are the people who are listening in the future because I acknowledge that their energy is here in this time, in this moment with me. That may sound very magical to some people, but actually it's really just logical. Whenever you put out a work of creation, whether it's something that you write or whether it's simply a spontaneous expression of your thoughts in the moment, which is what I'm doing now, this is not written, I am just speaking from the heart. When you do that, you are creating something which is shared across time. If you want to be a time traveler, create something. And then think about all the people who will share in it and who are indeed sharing in it in the future and feel their energy here with you. And that's what I'm doing now, which is why I'm able to have this essentially a monologue. I appreciate, you know, anyone who's in the chat room. Thank you for being there. I welcome comments if you feel like you'd like to comment. I'm happy to have a conversation. So, and as I say that, my dog starts barking. So I guess my dog would like to have a conversation right now. All right, let's see here. I wanted to read Revelation 21 or a passage from it. This is really important from a New Age standpoint as well. And, you know, it's amazing how you see things with new eyes when you can begin to look across belief systems instead of just proclaiming only one system has all the answers, when you can begin to actually release the pride of doing that. You know, so many times New Agers are accused of being prideful, and yet unfortunately it can be prideful to claim that your way is the only way and nobody else has figured anything out and their way is just wrong. And, you know, even though I'm the first to express my questions and doubts that I had along my path, I've always done that because I believe, well, I haven't always done it, but I've done it in recent times because I believe we need to be authentically ourselves. I also celebrate, I think we should celebrate that so many different paths are coming to the same place in a different way. So, anyway, since this has been quite a monologue, I'm going to take a quick drink of water, and then I'm going to read part of Revelation 21. Okay, Revelation 21:3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." So let's ponder that for a moment. Earlier, we talked about a verse that essentially in which Jesus confirmed that when asked if he was the Son of God, he basically said, "Ye are gods." Does it not say that ye are gods? What was he trying to say there? You know, there's another verse where he says that we would do greater things than he. And yet we somehow forget about these things and we elevate people so high that we don't listen to how they are trying to empower everyone else. And so, anyway, Revelation 21, as I just talked about here, part of it, what I love about that is where it says God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. That is no different than a consciousness of your oneness with God. It's just a different way of saying the same thing. Now, I know that this was written by people who had a view of God such that God was external to them. And yet, as we've already talked about in some other passages, there is this sense of God's omnipresence. You can't have it both ways. You can't except that God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere, and not within you, because then God wouldn't be everywhere. And so a lot of these things, once you come to realize them, once you release the fear of thou shalt not question, once you release that fear like I did, and I only did it through great turmoil and crisis in my own life, I will say that. If not for some very difficult experiences in my own life, I wouldn't be here talking. And that's why I'm able to see that those challenges that we have, that darkness, they're all tools for our own growth, because that was certainly the case for me. But once I was able to see it, it was what Oprah would call an aha moment. It was all so clear and so logical. And you begin to wonder, why didn't this make sense before? It's what it means to wake up. That doesn't mean that I'm the only person who has the truth, and I'm not claiming that. But I have found something that has transformed my life, that has given me a passion and an ability to even speak here tonight. I didn't used to be able to talk for, I don't know, I've been talking for an hour now. I didn't really intend to do that. But, I do whatever I'm led to do. And tonight I was very much led to just get online and start talking. That's what I felt I needed to do. And if people joined in, it was my hope that we would get maybe a group in here. But, you know, you just never know what's going to happen. And like I said, there are people here with me. Your energy is here if you're listening to this now. And even if one person is listening, I welcome you. And I know I do have at least some listeners. Anyway, it's the realization that you knew it all along. That's the most amazing thing. You know, when you finally realize that, wow, how could I ever have even considered that the loving creator of the universe could torture or abandon anyone? How could I even consider that once I understand love and compassion? It just seems all so obvious. And it's liberating. It liberates not only me, it liberates the next generation. Because as more of us come to this realization, we don't need to burden our children with those fears. And that is something that I feel strongly about within my own life, just as others feel strongly about sharing their beliefs with their children. It is my feeling as a mother, and it is so reassuring to me as a mother to know that I don't have to burden my own children with ancient fears that have been passed on and on and on. And, you know, although this may seem a challenge to those of you listening who have those beliefs, I mean, I'm sorry to come across that way, but I have to say that it was liberating for me. And I have every faith that God is with me. No matter how many people might challenge that a so-called New Ager or even an apostate could know God or feel the presence of God, I have every faith and knowledge that God is here with me, with every possible person on this planet, no matter what their religion. There are many people on this planet who are embraced by fear right now. They may be doing things that don't seem consistent with the God of love. Yes, there are things on this planet that occur that are very dark, very harsh. Some of those things in our history have been performed in the name of religion. So it's not independent of an understanding or a so-called understanding of what people think God is. However, even for them, they are exercising their free choice, because we are not robots. We are here learning and growing in a place of free choice. And where we can place our hope, where we can place our trust, is that the dawn is here. Isn't it remarkable that so many things are going on this planet on the brink of 2012? I've been learning about 2012 for years now. I am not an expert in 2012, but it certainly has been something that has interested me. And I think it's just fascinating that those in the ancient world, and it wasn't just the Mayans, there are many other cultures that foresaw some things. Now, granted, there were astronomical things that they saw that were possible for them to observe. But if you understand an expression of at least the Mayan prophecy, it's not about the end. It's about the end of one age and the beginning of another. It's about the end of one cycle and the beginning of another. And we're seeing a lot of things consistent with those prophecies right now, including some of the turmoil on the planet weather-wise. When we see the earthquakes and the tsunami, now those things have happened at other ages too, but it's just a fascinating, even if you want to call it a synchronicity or a coincidence, that all of this would happen now, including what's going on, you know, in the Middle East, what's going on in a lot of countries right now, which is a lot of turmoil, actually. We're seeing old structures crumble while new structures emerge, and we're really seeing the empowerment and the voice of the people. In many cases, we're seeing a pushback, too, because what happens when the people express themselves, and again, they have free choice, is that sometimes the voices of fear speak very loudly, too. Everyone's free to speak now. And so there are voices of disempowerment. There are voices that are trying to suppress women very harshly, just as they always have. And yet that's another aspect of the shift that we haven't touched upon here. A very important aspect is that we cannot shift as a planet without acknowledging the feminine aspects of not only humanity, but of the divine. God is not male. God is not female. God is both. God is everything. God is more than we can comprehend, because it's not just what's on this planet. And we don't know what's on other planets. And if you're a person who thinks that it's fringe to even consider other planets, other species, well, I will say this is a very big universe, and they are theorizing it's even a multiverse, which is very consistent with New Age thought, where we talk about multiple dimensions. And even to theorize that such a vast place would only be here for humanity, that's every bit as ignorant and prideful as some of the thought in the Middle Ages that we were the center of the universe or the center of the galaxy or that the sun revolved around us. It's time for us to realize that we are a part of something so very vast that we can't even begin to comprehend the complexity of what's out there. I was listening to a radio show. In fact, I called into a radio show, an actual radio show last night. In fact, I suppose that inspired me to get on my own show tonight, realizing I haven't done it enough. And I think I'm just going to start doing this more. It doesn't matter to me how many people happen to be out there. I just feel that those who need to hear these things, those who can benefit, will hear it. And it's good for me, too. More of us should just have the courage to just openly express what we're thinking in the moment. We shouldn't be afraid of that, to share of ourselves. Anyway, I was listening to this show last night where they were talking about how if ETs exist, that they must be hostile and that they would take us over or do all these dark things to us. And I know there have been lots of theories about that. And, you know, from a logical standpoint, you have to think that since there have been dark things happening on the Earth, it's possible there could be dark things happening off the Earth. That's not illogical to think that. However, for me, if you want to think about what other cultures are out there, I like to focus on the ones that are ascended, the ones that have evolved, the ones who fully understand consciousness. Those are the ones that don't even need a ship to come here because they understand consciousness and they know that they're one with everyone. In fact, I've often kind of chuckled when they say that, how could any extraterrestrial race even know that we exist? Because they would be so far away that they would never know. Well, people who say that are thinking in terms of our science and our limited technology. They're not thinking in terms of higher consciousness, because if you were an evolved race, if you were a race that fully comprehended or even had a partial comprehension of your oneness with all that is and the universe, you would know all about us. It would not be hard. Now, whether you would do anything to intervene in our free choice, that's another matter. But there have been any number of theories on that, and I wonder about that too, and often think it is possible that as we rise in our consciousness, we join the universal community in a sense that they will reach out to us. And I believe many of us see potential evidence of that. And it has been predicted too. One of my favorite books that I read early on about the Mayan prophecies was Return of the Children of the Light by Judith Bluestone Pollitt. And Judith, who was very much a scholar, in fact, she's still around. She doesn't talk much, I don't think. She doesn't do many interviews. But she wrote a brilliant book from a very intelligent and intellectual standpoint. And one of the things she talked about is not only are the children of light us, by the way, if you hear fireworks out there, there are fireworks outside my window right now. Nice punctuation to the talk. Anyway, they're not only us. We are the children of light, of the light awakening. But she also saw evidence of them believing in what many have called a parental race. This concept has been expressed in many movies. 2001, A Space Odyssey, classic example of the concept of an extraterrestrial race that has a part in assisting with our evolution. And these are things that are very fun and intellectually challenging to think about, not fringe at all. I have a scientific background. I have always been interested in science fiction. I have a master's degree. And the thing is, this is logical and scientific to consider these things. In fact, it's more closed-minded, as often science can be, unfortunately, to not consider it. We need to be much more open in our scientific circles to possibility instead of being so hostile to new ideas. Because science has always changed. Our understanding of the universe has always changed through breaking and expanding the box in which we are. We have always had paradigm shifts in our understanding of science. And there's no reason to believe that will ever end. And yet we continually have this hostility to anyone who chooses to go outside that box. And all I can say, just as has been true time and time again through our history, they're going to be surprised as to what reality actually is. And quantum physicists are already observing just how surprising that reality is. You know, there have been experiments where multidimensionality is starting to be demonstrated, and that is very challenging for scientists who just, it doesn't fit within their little box, and they're having to expand that box. And for anyone who's just beginning to explore some of this, a good movie to introduce you to that is What the Bleep Do We Know? I think it's funny that I've got a lot of fireworks going on right now. I guess we're getting closer to the conclusion of this show, and I don't know if you can actually hear it, but I can certainly hear it outside. So anyway, I think since my voice is going to run out fairly soon after what has been probably my longest monologue yet, I'm probably going to draw this to a close quite soon here. But if there's anything that I could close this time with, it is simply, if you're feeling despair right now, if you're feeling doubt in what you believe, have the courage to simply say to your creator, even if you don't believe in a creator, just give the idea of there being a creator a spark of possibility, whether you believe in it or not. Just take that step into asking the same question I asked years ago when I was in the anguish of doubt. For me, that question was, show me the way. Now, at the time, I was looking for the way, thinking that there was only one way, because that's what I'd been taught. But over time, I realized that being shown the way is being shown the way that works for you, the way that will help you to find the love and the compassion and the joy that binds us all together, no matter what our particular ways happen to be. And I suppose I'll continue this a little longer because I was just pondering, I'm a person who has the courage to listen to many different sources. And within the past week, I actually was listening to Glenn Beck and heard him talk about his path to peace on earth and talk about how we need to love one another. Now, how many people who have judged that man would expect that? And yet, he too, a person who I suspect, you know, I don't claim to know everything about him, and I know he said some things that are objectionable to me and to others. However, he sees a way too. He too is finding that love. And the more that people focus on the love, no matter how much fear, no matter how much division, if there is division on their path, the more they seek the love, if they're truly sincere, if they're truly sincere in seeking love and peace, as I believe he is, I believe in his sincerity after hearing him, they will find it, and we will find each other. In fact, I heard him even say that he wanted to reach out to atheists and to people who don't necessarily agree exactly as he did. So it's really kind of interesting. You know, we think everyone is just static in their beliefs, and people sometimes pridefully like to claim that they are. But you know what? People are not static. People are having revelations all the time. Look at Rob Bell who and Carlton Pearson, two people who realized that hell didn't exist after preaching the opposite for years. Look at those people. We are not static. We are shifting. We are evolving. And this expanded consciousness is touching everyone in one way or another. Maybe you're totally buried in darkness. Maybe you're totally engulfed in war. Well, you know what? I have faith that the light will reach even there. There is no one on this planet who cannot experience some glimpse, at least, of love. There may be those who are seriously impaired in some physical way, and it's very difficult for them to see it, but somehow I trust that that love is somehow with them too. You know, transformation is a miracle. It's not meant to work in a conventional way, in the way that we've always thought that life goes. People aren't static, and a quantum leap, a quantum shift is dramatic. And so if you are in despair, if at times the darkness gets you down, and I know it gets all of us down sometimes, all we can do is trust in the power of the transformative love of our Creator, a Creator that is not separate from us, a Creator who is God with us, God abiding with us, a term that has been used for ages, and yet we can begin to understand it in both a new and an old way. It's just we forgot the old way, or we're told to fear it. We don't need to fear it. We can embrace it as much as we are being embraced. In fact, there is a beauty to realizing that there's another side to God. It's not just us. And I learned this within evangelical Christianity. The other aspects of God want to embrace us and would take joy in embracing us every bit as much as we would find the joy in embracing those aspects. Recognize that greater consciousness reaching out to us. It's really a very cool idea when you think about it. When people in Christianity talk about the personal love of God or a personal relationship with God, that's often used. That's what it is. They've found it in their own way. Others find it in a different way. There are many people who find it through meditation. Many people view it as more of an expansion where suddenly they're having a one with the universe experience. I've been fortunate to have some of those, and I know what they feel like, and it's love so intense that you can hardly express it in words, and I couldn't begin to express it. And so I guess I will finally, taking me a long time to draw this to a close, but again, I'm just speaking as long as I have a voice, but it's starting to waver now, so just keep your eyes on the hope of the dawn. And I will do this again sometime. So if you're listening in the archive, I invite you to follow this show. There's also a new Frontier Beyond Fear Facebook page, which I can put out in the archive or out in the comments for the show. I invite you to follow me there. And I hope to have more shows of this nature. This show also has guests. It's not always just me talking. In fact, usually I do have a guest. But I think coming up there will be a variety of shows, such that we can all share together in ways that are meaningful in many different ways. So thank you for joining me here today. And let me say to you all, namaste, and God bless you.